Today is our fifth session in this little seminar on lifestyle evangelism, and today we're going to talk about some of the how-tos. And I didn't do fill in the blanks today. I wanted you to see these scriptures, because there's a couple of words that, because I don't have a board in here to write on, I want to make sure that you had them correctly. But if you'll turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 11, and while you turn there, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the day you've given us and all the blessings of this day, all the things that we have enjoyed, the blessings we've soaked up and never gave you the thanks and the honor for. Today, Lord, right now, we thank you for those, the ones we see and the many, most of those that we don't see, don't acknowledge. I ask you now to open our minds and our hearts. We could hear from you today, hear you clearly, and pray your blessings as we open now your word together in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I want to read several passages. The first is found in, and I want you to hold these together because there's an idea that runs through these verses, and we're going to see it in just a moment. In chapter 11, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard the Gentiles had received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." And Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying. In a trance I saw a vision, an object coming down like a great sheet, lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, the crawling creatures, the birds of the air. And I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.'" Remember the story now? This is before the meeting with Cornelius. "But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a voice from heaven answered a second time, 'What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy.' This happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. Behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household.'" Key verse there, verse 14. "You and all your household. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, 'John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Therefore, if God gave it to them the same gift as he gave to us also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" And when they heard this, they quieted down, glorified God, saying, "Well then, God has granted Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life." The story: Joppa, Caesarea. You got Cornelius, a God seeker who is open to the Lord. You have Peter, who's listening to the Lord. The Lord is a Christian. God's wanting to stretch him to get him out of his Jewish only salvation view. And then he brings them together. And the word is, "And he will speak words to you by which you'll be saved, you and all your household." And the word there for household is the word oikos, household. We're going to talk about it in a little bit greater detail in just a moment. Turn over to 16th chapter of Acts, verse 15. Macedonian vision has taken place in chapter 16. Now follow with me on this now. Don't get lazy in your mind on this. You got to follow me with this, okay? Got to listen to me closely because I'm going fast. Paul and his group, they're headed south, but God intersects them. Holy Spirit comes and speaks to them. They have the Macedonian vision. Come over here. Remember, the Macedonian says, come on over here. That's where we pick up in verse 14. They leave. They go across to Philippi. And there at Philippi, they're down by the river. There's a bunch of women there. That's how the church started in Philippi, with a bunch of women. And one of those women was this woman that's mentioned in verse 14 called Lydia. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. Again, this is a worshiper of God, a God-fearer. She's open to the Holy Spirit. Key thing there. She's open. She's open to God. By the way, a lot of people like that in Savannah, Georgia. They're open to God. See, we've got to be listening to God to show us those people that are open to Him and give us the timing. A worshiper of God was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to all the things spoken by Paul. So, do you see here, remember this thing we were talking about, how you have the Holy Spirit superintending the whole process. You have a person who is apart from God who is over here. You have a person who is the witness who is over here. And God brings them together. The Spirit brings them together. It takes all three they're working at. You see that in that passage? Pretty plain. Okay, verse 15. When she and her household had been baptized, she and her household. Word there? What do you think the word is? Oikos. Her oikos. She urged us, saying, you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. Come into my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. And of course, you have the beginnings of the church that is meeting there. The church met at her house. It was a house church, a house church / cell church type beginning for the body there. Okay, then as they continue to preach chapter 16, in verse 16, it says, and it happened as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a python spirit. Literally, that's a pneumai pathonai is the literal word there. It says spirit of divination, but actually what it is, it's a python spirit. It's a snake spirit. Spirit of divination. They worship that. By the way, a little extra here. That's one of the things that we saw when we were in Africa. We're riding down the road one day with Brother Clement, our host over there, and we're out in the country, and you know, you can see fields where they're growing things and all. But then there's this stand of trees there, real tall trees, about a half an acre of trees, and like thick jungle. He said told the driver, said, pull over and stop right here. We got out and looked at it. He said, I wanted you to see this. He said, this is one of the areas that our people don't go in there. I said, why don't they go in there? He said, because they believe that there is a snake spirit in there. Now, I say that to you before you rush on by. And you say, well, you know, this stuff doesn't exist. I do believe, you know, and Scripture teaches that demons do exist. And that the evil one exercises power through them. Snake spirit. Same thing here. Same thing. Believing that there was a spirit. And of course, when you go back to the roots of evil, where did we see the first manifestation of evil in Genesis? Yeah, serpent. Serpent, okay. Now, Paul finally gets tired of this gal coming around, you know, because she comes around, she's bothering him every day. He finally gets tired of it, turns around, and he says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And she was a fortune teller. She was a diviner. And when he casts the spirit out of her and she's delivered and she comes to the Lord, her masters are upset then. Because their ticket for money has been, you know, through God's healing, has ruined her. And so that's the background of how they got thrown into jail at the Philippian jail. That's the whole background of that. So we get on down to the Philippian jailer story. Are you following me now? Are you with me or not? You know where we are. Okay. So we get down to verse 31. And all the stuff has happened. The earthquake comes at midnight. Doors are open. Jailer's about to kill himself. Do yourself no harm, Paul says. What must I do to be saved? Verse 31. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. You and your oikos. You and your oikos. All right, now we'll say that 1 Peter passage for later. All right, now why did I read those passages to you? Oikos. I'm about to say that, Bob. Read ahead just a little bit. It's O-I-K-O-S. Number one on your outline there. The key to understanding how to share your faith as a lifestyle is understanding oikos evangelism. Now, that's the word that is used there. Now, does that mean that in each of those instances, this one person got saved, and then because they got saved, the others were grandfathered in? No, because God has no grandchildren, does He? What that does mean is one person got saved and leveraged their influence, whether knowingly or unknowingly, gave an example of following Christ, and the others in whose lives they had influence saw that they had done that, and they decided to also receive Christ into their lives. Have you seen it happen? You've seen it happen in revival meetings, one person, and then it'd be like Donald, where there's influence in a household where one husband decides to receive Christ, and then the whole household. All right, so if we're going to understand how to share our faith, especially in the day in which we live, because let me tell you, sending people stuff in the mail, sending them email, all these things, they're okay things to do. But that's not the primary way people come to Jesus. Mass meetings, not the primary way people come to Christ. If you'll skip on down to number 3, I'm going to skip around on your outline a little bit. 80% of people, and it's probably higher than that now, these statistics are a little old, 80% of people who receive Christ as Savior come through the witness of another person in their oikos. Not because they heard a good sermon, not because of tremendous outreach of a church or whatever. No, it was because a person that was in their sphere of influence, in their oikos, their greater family, shared Christ with them. Now, back up to number two. Your oikos is your larger family or your household. It is your sphere of influence. Now, here's the concept of oikos. When it uses this idea of a house or a household, if you take concentric circles out, who are the people that you have most influence in your life and who have the most, in that reciprocal relationship? You have influence in their life, they have influence in yours. People closest to you. And usually, those are immediate family members. Right? Husband, wife, spouse, children, parents, grandparents, immediate family, and close friends. Now think of those people for just a moment in your own life. Think for a moment. What influence do you have in their lives? Now I know it's easy to begin and say, well, you know, they won't listen to me about this or that. I'm not talking about starting with a negative. I'm talking with about beginning with a positive. What influence do you have in their lives? That's right. A lot of love there, Daniel. You have influence. Now, let's step out from that to the next band. Your greater group of friends and family members that maybe you don't see as often. You still have influence in their lives, don't you? What you do matters to them. Let me tell you how to let know that it matters to them. Inherit a pile of money. And you'll find out how far your oikos goes. You'll have people contacting you, you know, I sat behind you in third grade. We never really met, and I hated your guts then, but we're real old friends. Now, go on out with your spheres of influence from there. How about casual acquaintances? People that you don't see less often. Draw another circle out. You get a little bit further out. You have a little less influence in their lives. People that you work with. Now, wherever you put them. Now, see, that's something that you'd probably flip in today's world. Probably in the last 50 years, you'd have to put people that you work with closer in with more influence. Do you see what? See what I mean? Because in our society, there's so much time that has been spent with, especially in the Western world, especially in America. You know, other parts of the world, they're working less, but Americans are working more. More than they ever have, spending more time at work. So there's influence. So your oikos is your larger family over whose lives you have some influence. Now, why, when it speaks of Lydia's household there in Acts 16, she and her whole household, what did it say? And when she and her whole household had been baptized. Now, what that meant then was that was her family members and those who worked for her. Because see, she was an entrepreneurial woman. She had a home in another city. She had a home there in Philippi. She was a seller of purple. I mean, she kind of bucked the times, if you will. She was not your average woman of the day. But her sphere of influence was large. Do you see that? And her whole household followed suit when she received Christ. Why did they follow suit, do you think? Why did they receive Christ after she did? Yeah. She'd already been building her case that she was believable, that she was the real deal. You know, we got a lot of stuff in today's world that passes off as church growth and Christianity. A lot of it is just a bunch of hot air and will not stand the test. Will not stand the test of persecution, will not stand the test of time. But when a person is real, that's going to stand the test. So I want you to see this idea of a process taking place of evangelism. When you're thinking about and praying for the people in your life that need Jesus, they're already watching you. They're already seeing and deciding whether or not they're going to believe what you say when you finally have some of those conversations. Good. Good point. All right, let's go on to number four. The longer a person is Christian, the more Christianized is oikos. What do you think I mean by that? Let me ask you this question. For most people, at what point in your life, your Christian life, do you know and have a close relationship with the most lost people? Note all my definition there. That's why I'm asking you to listen to me. Listen closely. At what point in the average Christian's life, does he know and have an intimate relationship with the most, with the greatest number of lost people? At the very beginning, as soon as you get saved. Now, for it to be different than that, you really have to be going after it with relationships that are not Christian relationships. Because what's the natural mood of thing? What naturally happens when a person comes to Christ? What's the natural thing? Say it, Deb. That's right, you start hanging out with one another. Your family, you come into the... And that's right, that's good. That's how it's supposed to be. So then we can train up one another. But you have to become more intentional about getting beyond that group. Because if you're not careful, it becomes an us four no more. You got it? You see that? Because, let me ask you this. Some of you that were saved as adults, how many of you became Christian as an adult in here? Okay. All right. Some of the people that when you got saved, did God show you that there are some people you need to quit hanging out with? All right, right. On the other side, were there some people, after you got saved, they decided they didn't want to hang out with you anymore? That's probably the greater group, the larger group. And see, there's a culling process that goes on with that. Not that you're an idiot in the name of Jesus, or you've been obnoxious to them, you beat them over the head with a Bible, anything like that. But I'm telling you, spiritually, they know something's happened to you. They know your life is different. And when you're around them, who else is around them? Who has baptized you in Himself? The Holy Spirit. So you come in their presence and you're around. You don't even have to open your mouth sometime. You're just there. That's right. I mean, you've seen it before in your life. Sometimes you just walk in and people know. Just because they're not saved doesn't mean the Spirit of God isn't speaking to them. In fact, what we saw was the Spirit of God is speaking to them regularly. But are they listening? Are you following me so far? Okay. Now let me give you some practical tips then. You got this idea of the oikos? All right. I'd encourage you, get you a piece of paper. Not now, but draw some concentric circles. Now, what I mean by that, that's a circle here, then a bigger circle around it, then a bigger circle around it, then a bigger circle around it. And in that center circle, write down, ask the Spirit of God to show it to you, write, and as He does, show you the names of the people. They're the closest people to you that are not Christians. And then go on out. Next group of people, just like I described a moment ago. Next group of people. Write their names in there. Now that's so that on this next thing, begin to pray for them by name. Asking God to move in their lives and to use you as a part of the process. If you believe that you do have influence in their lives. Now, bounce down to number 7. I want you to say, because sharing your faith is a process. It's not an event. It has never been more true than it is today. Sharing your faith is a process. It's always been that way, but it's more demonstrable in its application of that today than ever before. The process of with a person. Because you're making a case before them that they can hear you. Now, let me hasten to say, does that mean that God does not at some time bring you a clandestine opportunity, a one with a total stranger? No. God does do that. Yeah, that's that 20% that's over there that you put in that category of people. But see, that's not the meat and potatoes of evangelism. And it never has been. Cold call, total strangers has never been the meat and potatoes of evangelism. And never will be. Because that's not how the Spirit naturally works through our lives. He naturally works. And even people they'll say, "Oh well, preacher, you know, I went to this meeting downtown. I never met the evangelist. I went there by myself and all, and that's where I made a profession of faith. Or I was at home by myself and the Spirit of God spoke to me." But let me back you up just a little bit. That was not an isolated event in your life, was it? If you're honest, you'll go back and you'll see all the places where the Spirit of God was moving through people, through influences, people that were in your oikos. He didn't waste anything, did he? He's making a case for that. That's why anytime we're praying for these people, say, "Well, I keep praying and I've shared with them and they just don't seem to want." Stay at it. Stay at it. Because their eternal destiny is worth it. If you really do love them. Now, if you're just looking for notches on the gun barrel, see, I mean, you can say that made a profession of faith. If that's what you're up to, and let me tell you, I've been down that road too. I've been down that road. Manipulation, all that stuff, you know. that's not the heart of God. But you need to begin to pray for these people by name. Now, just so you'll understand that this is also these concentric circles. Isn't that how God worked His overall plan of evangelism? Close, farther out, farther out. Let me illustrate it for you. What does Acts 1:8 say? Somebody quote Acts 1:8. Come on. You should receive power. Come on. Read it off your bulletin. All right, read it out loud. Somebody's got it. Stop. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem. Those are the ones that had the closest relationship with. That was the hub of things. And by the way, Jerusalem's the hub of history. Next one. All Judea. Whoop. Took another step out in the larger oikos. Next. Whoop. Out a little farther. And then where? Right on out. Do you see? That's how if you wanted to look at an outline of the book of Acts, which is the Acts of the Holy Spirit, that's how Acts is outlined. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth, as the gospel went out. Is this making sense? A light. I see a few lights coming on, but there's darkness still in places. All right. Now, go back to number 5 on the practical tips. By the way, is there any question about what I just said? Does that make sense? Does that application make sense to you? I want you to see, this isn't rocket science. That's right. Back to our definition of witnessing, which is, anybody? Somebody want to get extra credit here in the class for being able to give the definition of witnessing? Huh? Witnessing is... There you go. I'll give you something special for that. Teacher's pet. What Audrey said was the definition of witnessing, as she turns red, sharing Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. That's a capitalized version of what Brother Bob just said. Witnessing is sharing Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. Not up to us. We don't save them. And we don't force the deal either. This isn't closing a deal. That's not evangelism. That's something based on a contract. Christianity is not about a contract. It's about a covenant. That whole Western CEO contract idea, that is foreign. That has hurt the church in the West greatly. Greatly. You look in third world countries where the church is just ballooning out and blossoming out. They're doing it in the middle of persecution, in the middle of much opposition, operating on a shoestring. I mean, but you don't see them with a Western business model of the church applying in that. You see them with a biblical model of the church with this covenant that comes. All right, third thing under the practical tips is look for the teachable moments. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by this. After you've made this list, after you've identified these people in your life, and I guarantee you, every one of you, if you sat down and you asked the Lord to show you these people, bam, 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 bam. In fact, when I said it, a flood of names went through your mind, right? You started thinking about family members, friends. God just brought them to mind, didn't He? Well, write them down. And then begin to pray for them. And as you pray for them, then look for the teachable moment. What do I mean by that? I mean the pregnant moment. The moment that is where things open up. We've talked about this before. Where you have that opportunity. The opportunity to talk to them. They ask a question. They bring up a spiritual topic. But see, this requires us being ready to do that. So we don't miss it. So then it's natural and not something forced or contrived. Because what happens, especially in today's world, when somebody, they figure out that it's forced or contrived, what's their reaction? Now, I'm not recommending you go through the volumes of this to see this, but if you look at some of the caricatures on some of the popular comedy routine shows like a Saturday Night Live, where they parody Christians, You get a look into the soul of what non-Christians are thinking. They show you that, you know, the old routine, the old church lady routine that's on. The thing is, this is how they think. This is how they view us. And if you're sitting back and thinking, "Hey, they're viewing you," well, I'm different than that. Well, need to take a look at that. Even some of the people that are closest to you in your oikos, you might be surprised how they really think about you and your Christianity. That's why we've got to be ready. so that it naturally can happen. Because it has a greater opportunity of success if it happens naturally. Any education does. Any influence. You know, well, today, it's like a it's like OJT. You know, you get people in a classroom and try to teach them, and they may or may not be listening. But what if they're out there seeing it? You see, they're seeing our witness each day. All right, number four in that. You also need to use your available resources. Ooh, now what do I mean by that? You're not in this alone. The Bible knows very little of hook and line fishing, if you view evangelism as fishing, where you bait, hook, make it tantalizing enough, bam, I'll snag one. No. When Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men, he wasn't talking about, you know, fishing poles. What was his view of fishing? Nets. And how do you fish with nets? Yeah. If you're gonna put out a big net, how many people does it take? As many as you got. You ever watch these guys? Now it's like we'll say that. You ever watch them and say, you know, I think it's probably illegal here to do this, but to really go out where they stretch out on a beach, and one goes out as deep as he can with a net, and there are ones that they're posted different, and they just sweep through and drag and all kinds of fish get caught in that net. See, we need to use all our available resources for the people in our lives. Now, what are some of the resources that are available to us as we're sharing Christ with people in our oikos? What are some things that come to mind? Prayer. How important is praying for them? Because what does prayer do? When you pray for that other person, what happens? Spirit moves in their lives. Do you really believe that, though? Or do you think your prayers are unimportant? Do you really believe that when you pray, the Spirit of God goes and touches that person's life? Do you believe that? Most of the church doesn't. Because we don't do it. Praying for them. So that's something that happens. The Spirit of God moves in their life. But what else happens when you pray? Huh? What, Lynn? Moves in my life. So that I'm being conformed so I can see things differently. Maybe there's a key to a person's life. Does everybody come to Christ the same way? No. Well, they all come to Christ, but do they come the same way? Everyone is different. Different interests. Different thing. They all come to the same Christ, but different manners. All right, so that's one of the resources of prayer. What's another resource? All right, your group. Now, how could a life group be a resource for you with a person that you want to see come to Christ? Now, get them in a meeting so they can see, you know, they don't have two heads. They don't all look like church lady. And the people aren't beating them over the head. So they get to see that. That's another resource. You also get life group to be praying about. All right, what's another one? All right. Here on Sunday, is this a resource? Worship? How many people have we talked to, especially recently, that in music, God has spoken to them? That is the language of their heart that comes and gets in under the radar. And even though they may have all these things that oppose the gospel that are in their mind, the music gets in under the radar. You see it? All right. Quickly, any other? There you go. That was a great event. There it was out there. You see people that are experiencing the witness of the power of God. There are all sorts of resources. But see, we've got to realize that these are resources that we're to use in people's lives. Some of them are just waiting for an invitation from us. All right, quickly. Use all available resources, and I put down there, don't be stupid. Don't be stupid, and we can talk about that a little bit later, but just putting the hammer down on somebody. Don't be stupid. We'll talk about that later. I don't want to drag out more snakes than I can kill right now. Number six, remember, you are the person that the Holy Spirit has put in the path of your oikos. You were picked by God to be in their lives. And you can't deny that by virtue of the fact that you have relationship with them also means you have responsibility. And the way I look at that is, it's time for the church in America to start growing up when it comes to that. That's not the church, big C, responsibility, all these people. It's the church, little C, me, who has responsibility for these people. Because I'm going to be the first place of contact for them. Remember that it is a process, and it's an ongoing process, and a part of that is, I don't call it follow-up, I call it follow-through. Because you don't just see, when a person then makes a profession of faith, they come to Christ. It's not like, and this is very popular in evangelical circles. Suddenly the relationship that we have with them, oop, we got them here, boop, we got you here, now you're on your own. Many of you have heard me say this before. It's like bringing a baby home from the hospital. you know, all that nurture and all that, and then throw them out on the carport and say, well, we got you here. You can take it on from this point. No, that's when they're going to need you the most. The most time spending together. That's why relationships with one-on-one relationships are important. That's why, as we've created, these Go3 groups are important. That's why our life groups are important. That's why the corporate being together. here's another thing. Don't try out that stuff. Well, you know, I can be sometimey in my relationship with God's people, and I can still be a growing Christian. No, you can't. No, you can't, and no, you won't. I've been at this a long time. I don't know one example. And I've heard that for decades. Decades, I've heard it. It's not true. Because, man, if you really want to see this country change by the power of the Holy Spirit, it'll change when Christians can't wait to be together. That'll be infectious. Not because you have to, but because you get to. What a joy it is. All right, your assignment. Your assignment. Make your oikos circles this week and begin to pray for them. And as you begin to pray for them, remember, as soon as you speak their name to the Father, start looking for what God is going to do in their lives. And I'll be interested, as you make your list this week, what begins to happen, what opportunities you get, what changes that may come because you do that. And this is a faith exercise. I'm encouraging you to do it.